I haven't looked at anything, but I'm guessing.
No, neither have I.
I'm guessing we're just talking about. I mean, nothing really happened this week. There was nothing cool.
Quiet. Yeah, no, nothing really... at all. Just normal, normal January week.
I was just going to say, this has been an insane month. Like, CES was kind of a flop in terms of content, but it was still, like, a busy time for those who were there, and it feels much more like normal. And then all of a sudden, we're just getting random surprise Apple drops, which, can we start off by just fully acknowledging that this is 100% a scrapped event? There's no way this was planned like this. This had to be, right? Or do you not agree with me?
No, I agree. I agree. Yeah. And I think that the real tell is the way that we can see that when a lot of these assets were made, and it was months ago, it was what, October, November time. So this was all in the pipeline way earlier. And it almost is enough for an event. Almost. I mean, maybe there was something else that got scrapped that meant that, you know, that it wouldn't be quite enough. But with one more thing, it would have been more than enough for a full event.
Yeah, like a quick little, I don't know, that the Mac stuff was only 20 minutes, but they could have gone longer. They probably had longer.
Well, Mac Pro, if they had Mac Pro,
right,
then that would have done it. That would have been a pretty solid event.
What about the headset? You think the headset would have been a thing?
I think it would have been too soon then. I think it's more likely that that was originally planned for this month or February, and that's now been pushed back.
Yeah,
I think there's definitely been a lot of reworking in terms of how this was planned. I mean, even the video was effectively like a deleted segment of an actual pre-recorded video for an event.
I think I saw somebody say that they thought that was just shot that way on purpose, and they made that specifically for this. Why? Why would they make?
Yeah, and they've not done that before. With when they unveiled the iPad Pros, whenever they've had these press releases,
they've made product videos. They never did it in the event style that we've been used to over the last few years. So
it did just feel like cut runtime from a previous event.
Yeah.
So interesting that this is the time. I mean, I wonder, was it just supply chain issues that meant that they just felt that they couldn't get these devices out in time, so it wasn't worth releasing them? Because, you know, I bet they would have rather had this HomePod out, especially before Christmas.
Because
some of this stuff could have been great for the holidays. I'm assuming that it's just a supply issue ultimately. But nice to start the year with some new products.
See, I like to think it was a headset event with these other things starting it off. But if that's not the case, then yeah, I think supply makes the most sense. Why else would they cancel it? I like to think that I know Apple, and that's been like the talk before, is that Apple wants there to be a room full of people, right, when they show off this headset.
Yes.
And I think maybe they were thinking October. I don't know. They started doing people, but they still haven't done like a full live event. They've had people. They're starting to slowly get back. People outside watching the event. Now they did people inside watching the iPhone event. But it's still not 100% live where Tim Cook's on stage and John's on stage or all the people that are involved in this and Craig and everybody. But like it's slowly getting there. And in my mind, I think maybe it was one of two things. Was it a scrapped stuff that they filmed a while ago for an October event, or was it for the January event for the headset? And then they were like, well, the headset's not ready yet and we're not doing it, so we're just going to release these now and just post the stuff with it. But supply chain is probably the most, if we want to just remove all the conspiracy theories, then it's no fun.
It's
that
the boring
way.
Answer,
it's no fun. I don't know. But yeah, we got new MacBook Pros. So we'll start off with the Tuesday? I don't even know what day. The first announcement was new MacBook Pros and new Mac Minis. And like we woke up on, what day was it? Was it Monday? It was supposed to be a holiday, but we ended up having to like, hey, there's a possibility that new stuff's coming out tomorrow.
Yes, that was Monday. So we'd heard murmurings for about a week and a half that we'd heard that there was something going on, but we just couldn't verify it.
Yeah.
And then we were hearing more and more indications, and more people sort of in the Apple community were saying something is coming. So it really did seem like something was happening, but the whole debate was Apple can do Apple does briefings for the most boring, insignificant things. You know, when Apple releases a new set of workouts in Fitness Plus, they do a secretive briefing about it. So just because Apple does a secretive briefing doesn't mean you know it's a new hardware product. So we were speculating, you know, is it really finally the MacBook Pros? Is it a bit early? We thought maybe these would be coming in March. The timing didn't seem quite right. But then something changed on Monday and everything was heading in that direction. And that was when we saw in regulatory databases, new MacBook Pros. And we knew that that was pretty much when it was game over.
But doesn't that happen beforehand, or did someone just happen to like, oh, there's rumors that there's something coming out, so then they looked for it? Because like I feel like that all happened so fast. Like we found out that it's going to happen, and then oh look, it's in the database, and then doesn't it take time for it to first pop up in the database and then release something, or can it just happen at any point?
It probably was just chance that people were then looking around.
That's what I figured. Because it's like, I feel like it needs time.
You can check these databases. You know, we do. We check these databases really often. But if we check them every day, there will be no updates to them for 6 months. So we just don't. And unless it's unless we're kind of expecting something. Because, you know, these databases exist in almost every country.
Yeah. Well, it was our friends up north. It was our friends up north that did it for, not really north for you, but north for me. That was able to help us out. So thanks, Canada. Appreciate you. And yeah, so we got new MacBook Pros, M2 Pro and M2 Max chips, we've got a Mac Pro Mac Mini coming in. We have a regular base model M2 Max MacBook Pro coming in. And then I also maxed out. I don't always do storage, but I maxed out like fully CPU, GPU, and RAM models for the M2 Max because I'm curious, is this now better than an Ultra? Right? I kind of feel like it might be. Like the Studio?
I think well the thing is the Ultra is basically two Max chips glued together.
Right.
So it's going to have double the number of cores. So in single core tasks, it won't be a drastic difference. But in multi-core tasks, the Ultra would still have the edge.
Would still have the edge. Because I was curious about that. Like, how much better is M2 Max? Well, I mean, they said 20%. So.
Yeah, which is the same for M2 over M1. That's basically what they've been able to do with this generation of chips. Because what they've done with these chips from an engineering perspective is they aren't really new chips. They're not new technology. They're reworked technology. They're still based on 5 nanometer. So these are effectively the same chip technology that Apple has been using since the A14. These are scaled up A14s. They're heavily reworked. They've got different cores. They have different clock speeds, and they do have different custom technologies. So they are quite a long way from the A14, but we're not looking at a generational leap here. That's more likely to be with M3 at the end of the year when we make a big jump to 3 nanometer. But it's a smaller upgrade possibly than Apple would lead you to believe. But 20% is still quite a lot. And in some tasks where you're really leveraging the way that Apple Silicon is optimized, there will be even better improvements.
Okay, so I have to admit that I don't remember the specs of the Studio, and I'm looking at the Studio now with the Ultra. Never mind. I take everything I said back. But there are times, and I've seen a lot of people say the same thing. They've used their M1 Max MacBook Pro, and they've used a Studio with the Ultra chip. And for a lot of the stuff that they're doing, they don't really notice a whole huge difference. Like, I've noticed that render times on a lot of like larger projects with a lot of stuff, especially a lot of effects and LUTs and everything added to it, really does work well on the Studio with the Ultra chip. And the Max isn't that far behind, but like on basic everyday YouTube videos that I make for this channel here, that isn't too intense, like, I don't know, I don't really notice a huge difference in terms of performance. And it's nice to be able to carry it around. So I wondered if the M2 Max would be my new machine of choice here, but I'm looking at the Studio. I don't think we went full blown when we got ours, but 64 core GPU is intense, and so is 128 gigs of RAM.
Even more when we see an M2 Ultra, which has got to be pretty soon at this point, because now you've got the Ultra offering you've got the Mac Studio offering an M1 Max, that's the only remaining M1 Max that Apple sells now.
Yeah,
so it's got to be phased out for a new And you know, glue these two M2 Max chips together, and you've got yourself an Ultra. I mean, they're not really engineering anything.
Well, new. Do you think they'll just update the studio base version and replace the M1 Max with an M2 Max version? As of right
that,
now,
they could do that. They could do that, but where the M2 Max is effectively physically the same chip as the Ultra, they don't need to really engineer something new and specific for the Ultra.
Right.
They've just got to make it. It's more of a compatibility issue and an optimization issue. But it's not like they're designing a separate chip. That's why it's better to characterize the Ultra as like a Max Duo. It's more a doubled up version, which is why the cores are just doubled. It's not like the others where M1 Max is a fundamentally different chip to M1 Pro. Well, I say fundamentally different. It's the GPU that's different. The CPU is basically the same. They're all a little bit closer than it first seems, I think.
So that's good to know. I guess there's a lot of people out there. I mean, a lot of the comments that I saw were like, I'm still good with my M1 Max. And you probably are, honestly. Like, I think this is not – and that's the thing with yearly updates and iterations like this. Like, you don't have to upgrade every year. That's not who this is for. This is for someone who might be on just an M1 baseline machine and they're looking for a little bit more. Maybe you can just jump up to an M1 Pro or M1 Max, but why not try an M2 Pro at this point? It's going to be the same price. I mean, unless you want to go refurbished or used, but and for people who are still definitely running on Intel, I mean, just pick up any of these and you'll be fine. But yeah, I mean, they have to add a new version every year. There's not a whole lot new to the design. There's actually nothing new to the design at all. But there is some differences in the internals. Wi-Fi 6E now, right?
Yes, and Bluetooth 5.3.
Okay, those are not sexy HDMI specs, but the HDMI is interesting.
HDMI 2.1 up from HDMI 2. And one extra hour of battery life as well, but you're getting that through the efficiency of the chip. So that they are. I mean, it's enough to justify a new model. It's just a minor upgrade, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, for new customers, especially, you know, if you get this maybe through your company, if it's targeted at professional users, a lot of the time, this is a worthwhile machine, just not necessarily if you've already got an M1 based one. And even then, it might be worth it for some M1 users. If you need to use an 8K display, this is going to be a great upgrade for you because you can't do that right now.
If you need to use an 8K, I want to know the person out there that needs to use an 8K display.
Yeah. So it's a very niche use case, but for those sorts of people.
I have not used an 8K monitor yet. I have an 8K TV, but that's a little different. I've never used an 8K monitor, but I just recall back, I think it was MKBHD, his video, where like a long time ago they had this Dell 8K monitor and they tried running anything on the desktop PC that they were using, and it just could not do anything. Everything was so choppy. It was horrible. I'm imagining that has come a long way, but in my mind, I still feel like anyone who plugs anything into an 8K like monitor is still chugging along, trying to get their computer to keep up with that output.
Well, it'll be interesting to see those sorts of use cases when this machine is actually being pushed to the limits. The same thing applies with M2 Max, because if you get that 96 gigabyte RAM version and you get it with all the extra GPU cores and everything, it's going to be interesting to see if that really is offering a serious new level of performance compared to the previous spec'd out version. You know, the M1 Pro, M2 Pro, there's not going to be an enormous difference between those, but when you're pushing it and you are using an 8K display and this sort of thing, that's when I think I would be interested to see what it can do.
So I could have looked this up beforehand, but I just genuinely didn't have time. And you're my Google of information. So I'm going to ask you, so not to put you on the spot, but you have to know this. If I had to do a conspiracy theory on the update of that 2.1 HDMI port that now allows for someone to plug into a 240, or it can go up to 240 hertz, right? Is that any way stretching it into another display that Apple might have, or are they going to be outputting it? Because did they figure out a way to do this over Thunderbolt, or is this something where maybe they're like, you know what, we don't want to wait anymore. Users want 120 hertz, maybe 240, which I don't see them doing, but like they want 120 hertz, and we can do it through HDMI through maybe a dongle or something. I don't know. That's my guess. Like, not guess, but that would be my like stretch theory on that.
I think it's HDMI. HDMI 2.1 supports 240 hertz, which would way above ProMotion.
Right. I guess the 2.0 probably still supported 120 hertz, right?
I think so.
I would guess so.
The thing is, all of Apple's external displays, even going right back to the Thunderbolt display in like 2012, they haven't had HDMI ports. Apple does all of their display products for years have been entirely over Thunderbolt.
Well, have they been able to figure that out? Does Thunderbolt 4 offer the ability to do this now? I know that was like a whole problem, was that over Thunderbolt, it's just not possible to do 120 hertz right now. But that was with Thunderbolt 3. I don't know about Thunderbolt 4.
Well, I this is something that I have been confused about for a while. So maybe someone listening to this can explain to us, because honestly, whenever we write an article and we say, oh, you know, Apple is rumored to be working on an external display with ProMotion up to 120 hertz. There's always a comment that says, or several comments that say, but the Mac can't support that over Thunderbolt. And I can never quite understand.
It can't. And Renee explained this to us. When we had Renee on, he explained this to us. But I mean, that was ages ago at this point, and I can't remember. But Renee would be the person. We'd have to call him and have him re-explain it to us. But like, there is a reason why it cannot support. I don't know if it's the Mac. I think it's the Thunderbolt.
But maybe if it's got silicon, Apple silicon in the monitor, then that's different.
Sure, that could be. And
I mean, I don't know if that's part of it.
And doesn't it already have? Didn't the other one have an A14 chip?
Yeah, so the Studio has an A13. But obviously that's using it for things like Center Stage.
Well, why couldn't they? I mean, I'm just saying it easily, but yeah. I'm saying it as if it's just like, well, just flip a switch and may use it for something else, but I'm sure it's not that easy.
I think the point is that it's a bit like when there are all these rumors of AirPods getting lossless audio. Yes, Bluetooth doesn't support lossless audio, but that doesn't mean Apple can't find a way to do it. If Apple does that in future AirPods by creating like a local network that you connect to, and then it streams it in a similar way to AirPlay, just because the existing technical capabilities can't do it doesn't mean that that Apple isn't going to find a unique way to achieve it. I mean, they're not going to plug into two different Thunderbolt ports to get more bandwidth. I don't know. It's something that's a bit beyond my level of understanding, but they can do it if they want to. That's all I know.
Cool. Well, I hope they do, because it would be nice to get a higher refresh rate. I know some people like scoff at that and be like, what's the point? But it is different when you come from another monitor that doesn't have it. And then you like, I have my MacBook Pro from last year now. I guess it's outdated, the M1 Max. Or is that 2 years ago? When did this come out?
2021.
Yeah,
so it has been longer than you think.
Jeez. I just don't. Yeah, this is October, right, of 2021?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's like time is flying. So anyways, this hunk of junk, outdated. It's still a really good computer, by the way. But yeah, when I go to that monitor, it's super nice to look at. It's a very nice display. And if I can have a bigger version of that and like get that, it always gets me whenever you move it around. You're like, whoa, this is so smooth. Like, I don't know. Is it necessary? No, it's not. But it is nice.
It's enough to make a new kind of monitor with mini LED as well. There's enough there to justify having a higher price point. And maybe some more ports as well. Maybe an extra Thunderbolt port for daisy chaining. Studio doesn't have that.
You know what I did with this new MacBook Pro? I went 14 inches.
I like the 14.
I have a 16 right now, and my whole complaint, why do I love the MacBook Air so much? Because it's actually pretty decent in performance, and I can carry it around. It's super light. Okay, so I thought, all right, let's just go 14-inch this time and max it out.
Well, this might be the perfect sweet spot.
Yeah, especially since travel's starting to pick up now, I would feel much more comfortable bringing something smaller. And if it has the same power, which it does, it's got the same performance and power as the big guy. I don't know about the thermal efficiency. Yeah.
So you get 4 hours less battery life. That's it.
Oof. That is nice to have this the battery life on the bigger guy is very nice. I'm hoping that I can stick with it, but a part of me feels like I'm gonna put them side by side. And
but if you go from the 16-inch model, it's only 3 hours less. Because if you're going from the M1 version, so
okay, so technically I gain an hour. I mean, I'm rarely not on like a power source, but I don't know. I'm going to give it a shot. If I can fully edit a video on the MacBook Air and still have like battery left on a flight, I think I could do it here too.
Oh yeah, you'll be fine with that.
That's primarily whenever I'm ever using the Mac not at a power source, is if I'm on a plane. And most planes now have the ability to plug in, so it's not the end of the world. So if you're thinking about any of the new MacBooks, that's pretty much what you have. It's going to be exactly the same from a visual standpoint, and specs are mostly the same in terms of the design and what you're getting. Same ports, just updated for the HDMI 2.1. You can get 96 gigs. Is that different? I don't remember what the max is. Is 96 gigs of RAM highest now?
Yeah, that's new. Previously, it was only a maximum of 64.
And then 128 is the highest you can get on any Apple Silicon, but that's only in the studio. And then you're getting the same Thunderbolt 4 ports. Again, 2.1 for the HDMI. Bluetooth, what is it, 5.3?
Yep.
And then Wi-Fi 6E, which is nice. I would be lying if I said that I've noticed a huge difference with my Wi-Fi performance and my iPad, but... You know, it's an iPad. I'm not using it a whole lot there at home, so
it's future-proofing. You know, when networks are really able to take advantage of this, and you've got multiple Wi-Fi 6E devices on the same network that are all dragging the network down.
So maybe I can't really.
It will be more useful.
I can't really tell you. I have the Google Wi-Fi with Wi-Fi 6E in it, and I forgot what they call it, but it's a great. Great network. You should definitely look into that. That's one of the only ones that I know that has Wi-Fi 6E. I think there's like a Linksys one out there that maybe you can get. But Google's just pretty plug and play, and I already use a lot of their products for smart home. Which, by the way, smart home, HomePod, we'll jump back into that in a minute. But there was another Mac that was announced, and I think this is the one that everybody was like, yes, this is the best option. You can get a Mac Mini with M2 for $599, which I personally still wouldn't do the baseline model after my horrors of the M1 Mac Mini with baseline. I think the 256 is what's killing it. The moment you start eating into your memory there, because it's only 8 gigs of RAM and it's 256 gigs of storage, and I'm guessing they're doing that whole thing that had the whole controversy about only having one SSD, right? The NAND stuff. Is it the same? I don't know the confirmation on that. Yeah, so I'm guessing they're doing that, where you only get the one SSD instead of the two, unless you bump up into the 512s and up. That's how it was for the MacBook Air. I don't know for sure if that's how they're doing it on the Mac Mini, but I'm guessing. So that really does, like, once you fill up that 256, you start getting into your virtual memory, and then it starts to slow things down. And I've expressed how I used to run the podcast off of the M1 Mac Mini that was the baseline, and... I mean, it was all sorts of Bluetooth issues that came out of that and performance, and it just like would just crash. And wouldn't the program that we're using, for those of you who are curious, we use Ecamm, and it just could not handle it after a certain amount of time, and it was just having all sorts of issues. And I switched over to the MacBook, and it's been flawless, right? I mean, we've had no issues since switching. For a while, I was blaming it on Heartlight.
That's my experience. Yes. I have an M1 Mac Mini.
Yeah.
And I have a specced up version. And even with 512 of storage and 16 memory, it's still been quite a bumpy ride. And whenever I go to my MacBook Pro, which is a 14-inch M1 Pro version, it's so much smoother, even just for fairly basic tasks. And I would be hesitant to buy a standard model, but I'd still be open to it, because I think, you know, that little extra 20% performance Even the media engine, that you're not getting the higher memory bandwidth, it should provide a little bit of more refinement. I mean, you like the M2 in the MacBook Air, and that's not even active cooling. So I'm sure that the M2 in the Mac Mini with active cooling will be, you know, more than enough for most people.
So for my use case, I think it's really important that I don't ever have 8 gigs of RAM again. I think that's honestly where the issue and 256 gigs of storage. I think that's so when I love the Mac Mini or the MacBook Air, but when I had the base model, it was much of the same things. What happened was I updated that and went up to 16 gigs of RAM and a terabyte of storage, and I have had zero issues when I did that. And I would still recommend that for a lot of people out there who are looking for a laptop no matter what you're doing, unless you're just browsing the web and answering emails and docs, in which case I would just recommend getting an iPad, because then you have multiple use cases and it's a little bit more of a diverse device. But if you're like going to do anything else and it's going to be your main computer day to day, you know, even for you writers, how many times do you guys say you can't do everything that you need to do on your iPad because you just need the macOS operating system, right?
Yeah.
So
I would agree with that.
So
it is much cheaper now. It's a whole $100 less. So but that will make it a little bit harder to decide.
I'm not going to pull up the screen just because I always mess that up when I do it. But let's just, for those of you who want to follow along as I describe this to you, I'm on Apple's page, right? Okay. You can get the $599 baseline. And if you're an education, if you're in education, you have an EDU, you can get it for $499, which is wild. So, I mean, it's going to be hard for anyone to listen to me and be like, okay, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to go with the $499 because it's cheaper. And I don't blame you, but I'm just saying, if you don't want to be frustrated with it, and if you plan to do just a little bit more than the average user, I would just be careful with that. So you get the 8-core CPU, you get the 10-core GPU. This is pretty much what it was last year, right?
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago. Sorry, 2020.
Pretty much.
3 years ago. Ugh.
3 years ago, yeah.
Time. I'm going to be 100 years old soon. All right, anyways. 16-core neural engine. Nobody cares about that. 2 Thunderbolt 4 ports, 2 USB-A ports, HDMI ports. So nothing's changed in the design. It's going to be the same, but you're getting an M2. And then you can have the 8-core, 10-core, 8 gigs with 512. I mean, there's really no difference there. They're just upping the storage. That's $799, $699 with the EDU discount. But where it really shines, in my opinion, and it's a lot more, but the M2 Pro, if you're thinking about doing any kind of editing, coding, anything like that, I really do think you can get away with this baseline $1,299 Mac Mini. I really do think you can get away with that. Or you can bump up the M2 just a little bit more.
Thunderbolt ports as well.
Yes.
Ports are valuable. You know, yes. It's standing up to the Mac Studio a little bit better because the ports on the M1 Mac Mini have always felt a little bit limited. And that's because it only has the Thunderbolt controllers for 2 ports, like on the side of a MacBook Air. But with the M1 Pro, and you're getting the same thing as a MacBook Pro with a lot more connectivity, you do have those extra ports, and those count for quite a lot. I feel that it's quite a justifiable upgrade. It's a lot more money, but you're getting double the amount of memory bandwidth. You're unlocking options for larger amounts of memory, larger amounts of storage, not to mention the actual performance itself. And those ports, and even when you think about how that translates to better external display support, if you are planning to connect multiple 4K displays, 6K displays, maybe you're using it with a Pro Display XDR or something like that, it's giving you, it is, as you say, it's like a little Mac Pro. It's a lot more like a Mac Studio, I suppose.
So
a lot of people that would have bought the Mac Studio, this is really all they need.
Right. And so that's where a lot of the people I follow on Twitter and stuff are all creators, big and small. And a lot of them are all saying, this is really the computer for everyone that's in that field or looking to get into that field or just wants to do anything. I mean, you can kind of entry level yourself. And I say entry level because it's really not, like, you put that in quotes because it's a nice machine. Or, you know, let's see, if you're looking at the Mac Mini, just the M2 model, you can do, I would say go 16 gigs. You can maybe get away with 512, but I would maybe do a terabyte. Yeah. You're looking at $1,199 at that point. I would just say spend the extra what is it, $100 just to get the M2 Pro? Yeah. So, I mean, that's the machine I would look at. You're already getting the RAM and the performance and everything. You're going to lose out a little bit on the storage because it only comes with 512. But that's a huge, like, step up, in my opinion, for the Mac Mini. And I'm going to be curious to see how the baseline M2 Mac Mini performs, especially compared to the other one. I didn't pick one up, and I feel like we should, and maybe I will down the road if people want to see that. If you're listening and you do want to see that, let me know. But we did pick up the Pro because I think that's where a lot of people are going to be interested. Are you going to get a new one? Or are you sticking with the M1?
And something is something you'll sympathize with as someone that sets up a lot of Macs and maintains a lot of Macs. But I want to long term just have one Mac because I don't like having to sort my settings out on multiple devices. Yes, because with a Mac, you really need to tweak it in a way that you don't with an iOS device. So for me, if I wanted to keep my Mac Mini long term, then yes, definitely this M2 Pro model would be the one for me. But because I actually just want one Mac and the MacBook Pro will do that fine for me, I've realized that's actually where I want to go with my long-term sort of Mac plans.
Yeah, I want one Mac too. And I know this sounds horrible to say. I have too many devices here and there's too many options for me to use. And like, I want one Mac. And honest, what makes the most sense is just a really good laptop. And so, but I don't feel like I could rightfully go away from the studio either. It's just, it's too good as well. I don't know. I cannot wait to see how the M2 Max MacBook Pro works, because if it's good enough, the idea of being able to just take all my work with me, and then plug in and dock, especially the new Bridge dock, it's a great dock. It's very expensive.
Yeah. And if you can expand that, expand the ports you're looking at as well, connect to a monitor, I mean, you're really not that far away from a Mac Studio like experience.
Yeah, it's just a different form factor that is so much easier to take with you on the go. And that's the other thing with the Mac Studio. I mean, like, if the performance is, yeah, it's a little bit better, but like, no one really needs this, which like no one really does unless you're like in a high-end environment. You know, super professionals out there making movies and music and anything, graphics, 3D design, modeling, all of that stuff. No one's really going to notice that huge of a difference. Like, I don't need any of that. I really don't. And I'm okay to admit that. It's nice to have, and I'm certainly going to use it, but we don't need it. I can get by with this. I have it right in front of me. I can get by with this thing. Don't tell my boss that, but I can get by with just this. And, you know, it's just like, at the end of the day, you have to think about, you have to get a monitor, you have to get your own keyboard and mouse. Like, you still have to bring things to the Mac Studio. And you don't have to do that with a MacBook Pro if you don't want to. Although I know a lot of people usually extend into a monitor. So do you have anything else to say about the new M2 lineup that just randomly dropped on a Tuesday in January?
No, I think it's something that's been, we've been feeling that it's overdue for a while, especially for the Mac Mini. You know, that Intel model, this time last week was still on sale. That Intel model from 2018. So
it I was feel really like this, overdue this plan just kind of happened. I don't think this was the way they intended to do it. I feel like they just snapped their, if they were like, you know what, we should just release it now. Let's just do it. Let's pump it out next week. And it just kind of came about.
Well, there were even rumors of a redesigned Mac Mini a long time ago, but
yeah.
I think Apple's roadmap for this whole thing has really not gone how they expected. I mean, I think that's ultimately due to COVID, because when they were planning out how Apple Silicon would work, they were not expecting that they would have a year and a half of people working from home and supply chain issues. You know, we may well have already had 3-nanometer chips by now. We probably already would have had the Apple Silicon Mac Pro. So I think that it's all just been a bit chaotic. And some of these decisions have been a bit baffling, because we expected, okay, Apple's designing its own chips. You know, we've had like clockwork A10, A11, A12, A13 every year. So this means we're going to get Mac updates like clockwork, but we just haven't. And even now you've got the Mac Pro with Intel still with no sign of the Mac Pro. And then you've got other devices like the iMac which they went to the whole bother of giving it this great redesign and these color options, this completely new device. But then now they just have forgotten about it, and it's got the M1. So it's less powerful than your iPad Pro.
Yeah.
And even, you know, it's now what, the only M1 device that's a latest generation M1 device. So it's all a little bit messy, but the more we go in the direction toward, you know, frequent updates, M2 should be in everything now. I'm happy with that.
So are we assuming these iMacs and the Mac Pro have to be next and like soon, or is that a WWDC thing?
Mac Pro has got to be soon, I think.
The iMac has to be soon too. It's so outdated now.
The iMac. What we're hearing with the iMac is that Apple is waiting for M3. That they are skipping M2.
Why?
There will be no M2 iMac. I don't know. I don't really know why. Maybe it's because the iMac came out a little later. It was April 2021. So it was later than this first generation of Apple Silicon Macs. But even the studio's still got to come as well. You know, we were talking about that. We need that update. So
I'd rather have a new iMac. They would
do these more regularly.
Yeah.
Just do them all at once. But maybe we'll get there eventually.
I don't know. I think for our wallet's sake, we probably don't want that.
Yeah, and also just for the sake of, you know, keeping track of all the changes and everything, maybe it is nice to have them a little staggered. But
well, it is nice to have content. I will say, you know, the reason why I'm feeling busy is because there's actually new stuff in January and February, and like that just doesn't happen. And then, you know, even on the non-Apple side of things, there's a lot of stuff happening with other companies. You know, Samsung has an event coming soon that they announced. OnePlus. I mean, there's just like a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff coming out. It's good time for, even though it's supposed to be kind of boring this year in the Apple world, which is a bummer to hear. No one wants to hear that in January, that like this year is going to be disappointing. Like, no one wants to hear that. But well,
that's why they had to give us the HomePod.
Yeah, well, that's a good transition, because speaking of disappointing, I don't know. It depends on who you are and how you look at this. I know a lot of people were like, that's it. It looks exactly the same. Like, and it's got less tweeters. So it's what comes down from 7 to 5 now. And it's $100. It's the same price at $299. Like, what are we doing with this? I don't understand. But I'll trust that Apple has figured out a way to make that, the change on the internals, either sound exactly the same or better. And I don't know how they would have made it sound better, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on the new HomePod? We got a new HomePod, everyone. A new full-size HomePod that looks nearly identical.
It only took them, what, 7 years?
Well, 2017 was when they announced it, but it didn't officially come out until 2018, right?
Yeah. And I think it was messed around with the pricing. They added a whole load of new features to it that they didn't have at launch. So.
And then they were just like, you know what? We're done. That was what, 2021, or was it last year? This, I don't even know. It was sometime recently. They're just like, we're done. This is an extinct product now. And I still have one sealed in the box, right? And they were going for like $600, $700. And I was like, I'm going to wait even longer. And I'm not going to open this. It's still sealed. And now they came out with a new one. And that value has just dipped significantly.
If you hold to it for long enough.
Well, yeah, sure. Off again. Like 25 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to make a little extra cash now. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't have sold it.
I'm quite surprised at how little has changed, because although this is basically a completely re-engineered device, although it looks similar, every component in it is different. It's got the same fundamental design in terms of its engineering, and where the different components are located is more or less the same, but the whole thing is a different device. It's a different height, it's a different weight, it's got a different number of microphones, they're located in a different place in the device, it's got a different chip, it's got the U1, but it's not introducing a large number of new features. It's not giving you really a different experience to if you just already have the original.
Well,
which is why I feel it's a bit strange. They misfired with the original. Why just reintroduce the same thing?
Is spatial audio new? I felt like that was already...
That's not new. That was already on the...
Why did they advertise it as if that was like something new.
So I'm trying to think what is new. You've got Thread support.
Well, Thread and Matter too, which is nice.
Yes. You've got the temperature and humidity sensor, which is nice for your smart home.
I missed that.
And it's in the HomePod Mini as well, coming via the update. The HomePod Mini always had it, the component inside.
How did I miss that?
And now they're just turning that on. So now all your HomePod Minis in the smart home will give you your...
Oh, cool. So if you go in the home app, it'll just be like, hey, your HomePod's here, and it happens to be 72 degrees in here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you can use that to trigger automations. But that feature's been in the Mini since launch. And they've just left it. So that, but anyway, the new big HomePod has that, and it also has the U1 chip, so you can get that handoff experience that you get with the Mini, which I
is terrible.
Virtually never use it. It's better than it was on the original HomePod.
I was going to say, really, I think the original. I have an original. I'm pointing off camera here over there, and anytime I get close to it, it like tries to do something, but then it just doesn't do any handoff. And then on the other one, I feel like, I don't know. I don't think that feature works very well for me in general, but.
It's better with U1. It is better with U1 in the HomePod Mini, because you get that. You get the vibration as you go closer and closer. And then I can see what they're going for. It just doesn't work all the time.
It sure as hell doesn't work the way they advertised it in the video. Did you see the video where they talked about, they showed off, like, it was just in the, you know, they made a video. It wasn't to the extent of, it was just a product video, you know, just, they do those. That's not, like, event specific. They do make these where they describe the new HomePod, but, like, it was just this girl walking into the room, and she, like, first, I think she triggered Siri, and she asked it to turn the lights, or was just, like, lights on. And it was like the moment she said the word lights, the lights turned on. I'm like, okay, calm it down, Apple ad. It does not work that well, and it doesn't work that fast. And then she like did the handoff, and it was just like a little boop, and it worked immediately. And I'm like, no, that's how it's supposed to work, but it does not work that well that quickly. I just don't think Siri is that fast either, unless that's something new, and that's part of the new processor power.
Well, it should be. It should be faster, because when the HomePod was originally designed, Apple didn't process Siri requests locally, whereas now it should be done even if you have no network connection, theoretically. So having the S7 chip from the Apple Watch, which is even more powerful than the S5 in the HomePod Mini, should mean that anything that is processed locally should be better. I also am hoping thermals be better, because the original HomePod, especially with some of the updates which have been very rocky, can get very hot. And that's actually what has killed a lot of them, is just how hot they get. So all of this is obviously a step in the right direction. I think the new display looks nicer.
Oh yeah, so that is one of the only visual things. Is I thought it was smaller. We don't know that for sure, but it's a different design on the top just a little bit. It's more in line with the iPad or the HomePod Mini than it is the original HomePod. So that's what maybe looks like it's a little smaller. And also they extend anything that happens on screen to the full edge. So basically that's only going to be with Siri, and you get that colorful looking Siri animation. That's going to go from like edge to edge, which does not on the original. Does it do it on the Mini? I don't use the Minis all too often, so I don't know.
Yeah, so they're completely different displays. So it's not really a display. It's just LEDs under glass. That's how you get that sort of appearance for Siri. And all it will do is it will show you green if you're having a phone call, white if something is playing, you know, red if there's an issue, and you obviously get the Siri waveform. But the original HomePod actually does have a display. So the volume icons on the original HomePod are actually appearing as pixels on a display, whereas on the HomePod Mini, they're just printed on top of the glass.
Okay.
So it's just a different technique, but it does look nicer. It does make it look a little bit fresher. And there's other things like the cables removable now from the back. So if you're getting it up on a shelf or something, it should be easier to handle. And
I also
there
did
are
not
little
know that.
Refinements to it. And obviously where it's lighter and a little bit shorter, Even the color options. So you still get it in white, but there's no more space gray. It's only available in midnight now. So
okay, it has a little but bit it looks exactly the same. No, it doesn't.
What? No, but once you realize this, that it's not gray. You do see it is like a slightly navy.
I actually ordered the white one, so I don't know now. I should have gotten a black one.
I really like my HomePods, and when they inevitably die, because they will with that A8 chip, I've come very close to having some of them killed by, I think it was the HomePod OS 14.2 or 14.3, the one that was killing everyone's HomePods. It very nearly killed mine several times over, absolutely roasted them. You could feel the heat coming off them like a log fire from a distance, genuinely. That's how hot they got. And so it's a miracle that they're still alive, but I'm sure that, you know, they are going to die at some point. And when they do, I am glad that I can replace them with something. It's just a little bit of a shame that I feel like they didn't have to do a lot. Like, they could have done something with surround sound, which would have been interesting. They could even have put a display on the top so that you can actually see what track is playing.
Yeah.
Or the progress for a track or anything, even just something little. To make it feel, or given it Bluetooth, so it could rely on Bluetooth if your network's patchy.
Yeah. Yeah, they just literally didn't do anything besides re-engineer the inside, which no one cares about because they can't see it, and if it doesn't sound dramatically different, no one's going to care. And then they didn't give it any extra features. Like, I think I was mostly just thinking, like, yeah, surround sound would have been great. Interaction with the HomePod Mini, like, could we hook up four of those together? Like two big ones and two small ones and figure out a way to do it that way. I don't know. I feel like people would want to do that. Why can't we connect them together? I have no idea, but
especially
can't.
With U1, right. You should be able to get that spatial awareness between HomePods in a new way, not just what it was doing with the A8 in the original, where it's working out where it is in a room. I feel like there's potential with this, and maybe they can introduce more with software updates in the same way they did with the original HomePod, where they added voice recognition, where they added Dolby Atmos, where they added lossless audio. All of these things came over time. And even the ability to, as I say, just to recognize different people's voices, it did not do that. You couldn't even stereo pair them when they first came out. So maybe there are more software features in the pipeline now that they've got the hardware across the Mini and the big one to parity. Maybe there's an opportunity for that, but I just feel like I needed something more from this hardware, even if it was just like an audio jack in or like an Ethernet port or something, just anything to make me feel like this is trying to do something different, or even a lower price point would have been fine. It's just a bit strange that I can't work out what the strategy is here. Maybe in a year they'll drop the price by $100 and they'll introduce a new kind of HomePod with a screen.
That's,
and then this will become like an entry-level model and it will make more sense.
There's no way the one with the screen, though, is going to be replacing the price point of $300. That's just not happening. Because if it's what it's supposed to be, where it's kind of like an iPad built in with a HomePod and then... let's catch up on that, because those rumors have started to ramp up a little bit too. Is that going to be an iPad that when you dock it changes over into a HomePod related thing? Or is this a, you need to buy a specific iPad looking device that only comes with this? And like, like the Pixel one, you get the tablet, right? And then you can buy this extra docking accessory, and then it becomes the same thing that we're talking about, where once you dock it, it opens up the Google Home app in like a stripped down form, and it's able to basically be that all-in-one home hub device where you have a display to it. But then you can remove it and still use it as a full-on iPad. With this, and I've only looked at some of the rumors recently and briefly, is this going to be the same thing? Or is it a stripped-down device to where it doesn't have the full extent of an iPad?
Well, I think that we're not sure yet what form factor Apple is looking at. It looks like they're looking at three different sorts of devices and working out which combination is best. So they're looking at tablet form factors, whether this is, even yesterday we were hearing that it would be kind of like an iPad with a magnetic back that you can adhere to different surfaces around the home. So that doesn't really seem to have any HomePod element to it.
Right.
Then there's a version of it that's on a robotic arm that can follow you around a room and has like a HomePod built into it. And then there's a version that is a HomePod merged with an Apple TV. That has a camera for FaceTime calls, but it's also a little bit like a soundbar, but with the Apple TV built in. So it may well be that Apple is actually working on a range of home products and a range of HomePods, and Apple TV and HomePod all become the same kind of line. And even with what they're doing with tvOS, maybe tvOS will become, as rumored, it will become HomeOS, and then that will also run on these little tablet-like displays that are a bit like an iPad, but a much more simplified experience, just for FaceTime, you know, browsing, and maybe some video. But you're not going to be, it'll be like Apple TV, basically. So I think that's where it's going.
And that's fine. I am excited for a product like that for some reason. So we'll see. So yeah, that's the HomePod. It basically is a giant HomePod mini with like two exclusive features, room sensing, and it says spatial audio is also the exclusive feature. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the mini has a spatial audio.
According to Apple, it does not. And it does not have room sensing. And then obviously it's bigger, so it has a better array of tweeters and woofers and all of that. But everything else is exactly the same. Stereo pair, multi-room. You get Siri's voice recognition and intelligent assistant. I would hardly agree with that statement. But then you get the... I did not know about this temperature and humidity sensor. I must have missed the ball on that one. I actually think that's pretty cool. And now, well, I guess maybe it just didn't matter because you couldn't do anything with it. But now that you might be able to, like, that's cool. So that's really it. I mean, it's a lot, but I don't really have anything else to say about it until we get it. It'll be nice to like test out the new Macs, and, you know, you can follow along at Mac Rumors YouTube channel and MacRumors.com for all of the extensive coverage. And then we'll be getting into, what's next? Is there another event still happening potentially?
I'm not sure. I think we probably will see an event before WWDC because they've got to get Mac Pro out. Maybe we're going to get this preview of the headset, but there are things mounting up at this point. I think that's enough.
I swear, if Apple does a March event and it's during my planned third time trip to Disney, I'm going to lose my mind.
Oh no. If it's the headset event as well.
I am, yes, exactly why I am. All right, I'll leave it at that. I don't want to end on a negative note. catch us in the next podcast. We'll see you guys in the next one. Okay, see you later.